Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, fired up. It is a great and beautiful day in the neighborhood. If you have any reference to that, you'll remember Mr. Rogers. I have no idea where that came from, but it just popped up in my head. So since I got the microphone, I thought I'd go ahead and say it. So that being said, I'm super excited for today because we are going to talk about being a father. And I'm really excited for my new friend who's coming out with his book, My First Rodeo. Stoney, you ready to do this thing?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So, Roar Nation, check this out. Stoney is the owner of TDD Media. He's the author of a popular parenting blog, The Daddy Diaries. He grew up on a large quarter horse ranch in a small town in Northeast Oklahoma. And he also attended Northeastern Oklahoma, A&M College, and then Oklahoma State University. We did talk a little bit about, before the show, about Oklahoma State University. We're not going to hold it against him over here in West Texas. That's a big deal. That's a no-no. But I'm not from Texas, so Stoney, we're okay. And so anyways, side note, his wife April is a successful photographer and accomplished chicken farmer. They have three daughters. And they live in East Texas for a number of years, and they recently relocated to Oklahoma. So, all right, Stoney, I barely hit the surface on it. I did throw you under the bus, and we said that I wouldn't about Oklahoma, but that's okay because I'm adopted Texan. I am not a true Texan. I'm only adopted, so I can say things.
Hey, we, you know, outside of Oklahoma, we love Texas. We lived there for a number of years. So, you know, if we can't pull for Oklahoma, we'll pull for Texas, most likely Texas Tech.
But especially in basketball, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was proud for you guys.
That was a big deal. You know, what was funny though, is I wasn't sure if I wanted them to win. And I hate to say that because I was actually more concerned that they were going to burn the town down if they won at the rate they were going. So I wasn't sure about that.
Well, thankfully, I think maybe the media blew that thing up a little bit more than it should have been. I think it was just a small little fire that they started there.
Oh, that's funny.
I was rooting for them though. I've got several friends that are Red Raiders, and if I've got to pull for a Texas team, that's definitely who I'm going to pull for.
Yeah, that was a good one. So, all right. So, Stoney, tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing, man.
Well, like you said, my name is Stoney Stamper. I'm the owner and author of TDD Media, which is a blog about family and fatherhood. You know, it started off as just a hobby about 6 years ago. We decided after we'd had our third daughter that we might like to start putting some of these stories in print, and people seem to be people seem to like them quite a bit. We have three daughters. Abby is 18, Emma is 15, and Gracie is 6. Emma and Gracie just turned 6 and 15 about 3 weeks ago. So we've gotten spread out quite a bit. You know, the Daddy Diaries, the blog, started off as just a way for me to express myself as a father and as a, we don't use this term, but, you know, a stepfather, and the trials and the difficulties of blending a family together and kind of learning how to coexist with one another. And, you know, it's taken us places that we never dreamed. We never could have imagined 6 years ago that we'd be here talking with you today.
So why don't we dive into that a little bit 6 years ago? It's really, and the reason I want to dive into that is we're a lot about finding purpose and journey in life. I know you do this just like, exactly like I do. But a lot of times what I don't think people realize is it's just kind of in us. and we don't know how to get it out, or it just ends up coming out. And I'd love for you to talk about the process of how it just started and you just did it.
Well, you know, I've had a passion for writing my entire life. My grandmother was a good writer. My sister's a good writer. I've always enjoyed writing myself. And I've always been a storyteller. Just as you said, it's, you know, it's in me. No matter what I'm talking about, I can generally make a story out of it. And, you know, with social media and a lot of different blogs that are out there right now, I noticed that there were tons of mom blogs. There were a lot of blogs where mothers told their stories, but I felt like there was something missing on the, you know, quote unquote dad blogger side of things. And, since I tend to write, whether it be in a journal or whatever, anyways, we decided to start sharing that with people and just hope that they would enjoy it. And, you know, clearly for the most part, people have, you know, it all really began, 6 weeks after the birth of my third daughter. I had never taken care of an infant by myself before. Up until that day that she was born, I'd never changed a diaper. I had never, you know.
How old were you?
I was 33 years old when she was born.
Okay.
And, I mean, I had never changed a diaper and, you know, she was born and she needed her first diaper changed and her mom's, epidural hadn't worn off yet. So they handed me this tiny little human and said, change her diaper. And so I was kind of thrown into it there. But on that day, 6 weeks after she was born, April, my wife was going to take advantage of a spa day that we had purchased for Mother's Day. And, I said, sure, I can watch her. I've got this under control. No problem. And, turns out it was a little more eventful than I had originally anticipated. It included lots of puke and poop and, so that night I sat down and I wrote a story about it. It was just a post that, you know, was something that was pretty funny and shared it on my personal Facebook page. And it was shared nearly 1,000 times in a matter of just a day or two. And, you know, the opportunity kind of presented itself there and April encouraged it. And, you know, so I was able to really tell those stories that I wanted to tell to a larger audience. And it just became larger and larger. And, you know, now, I average somewhere, you know, total reach on Facebook alone is somewhere around 600,000 to 700,000 people each week. And, let me tell you, that was never in the, you know, in the realm of anything that I could have expected.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, did you have any kind of background in writing or any of that? I mean, you talked about you always loved it, but did you just kind of just figure it out as you went, or?
Yeah, none professionally. I mean, I've always been a big journaler. I've always written things down in notebooks, and that was a way that I was able to kind of get my feelings out. And, you know, maybe like a lot of guys, I may not talk about my feelings quite that much, but I could sit down and with a notebook and I could get those feelings out. And so, I always wrote, but it was really just for myself. You know, no one ever read it. And, a few years, actually probably a year and a half into the blog, I had an Australian Shepherd dog that I had since 2000. And, it was in 2013 in November, he died. And I was, before I had the girls, he was my family. He was the only family I had, you know, as far as my personal family. And I was just completely torn up about it. And I wrote this story that was funny and sad and kind of a tribute to him. And someone from Due South Magazine, which is a lifestyle magazine in Arkansas, really a neat magazine that focuses on storytelling and different lifestyle type blogs and things like that, and contacted me and wanted to know if they could run the story. And at the time, I'd never been published. And of course I was ecstatic about it. It was a emphatic yes on my part.
Yeah.
And, I'll never forget the day that magazine came in the mail and I saw my name in print and I saw our pictures and saw my dog, and I've actually got a copy of that magazine sitting right here on my desk right now. And, that dog's ashes in a box about 5 feet away. So, so it kind of just grew from there. And after that first story with Due South, I wrote, I believe 43, 44 stories for them in all over the last 5 years. And it's just grown, just continues to grow. And,
so I'm dying to ask you, I'm just curious, out of, the hundreds of thousanders, man, I'm on a roll. I do this every show, but that's okay. Out of all the listeners that you have, I'm curious, is the majority of it guys that actually tune in, or do you have a lot of moms and stuff reading your stories? Or I'm just kind of curious on the feedback that you get.
No, it's actually majority female. The majority of my following are females from 18 to 45 years old. Of course I have dads and grandmothers and I checked it a few months back, but last year the Daddy Diaries was read from my webpage in 112 countries.
Wow.
Which just completely blows my mind. Come on. I'm just a country boy from Oklahoma that, has a pretty good sense of humor. But 112 countries, that just, I'll never hear that and not be surprised by it.
Yeah, it just blows your mind when you hear stuff like that. When we pull up our podcast, there's times where I see stuff in like Nigeria or New Zealand or Australia, like just places I'd never even dreamed of. And you're just like, wow, somebody listened from Russia or some weird place. Like it just never even crossed my mind. And I'm thinking to myself, man, do they speak English over there? Like in some of it, that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm the same. I had some of the same Sierra Leone and Pakistan, and I thought, who in the world wants to listen to the things I have to say over there? But somebody does, and I'm glad. I'm happy that they're listening.
So I'm curious on for like your guy listeners, have you had some of those moments where people have written in, it's kind of been life changing for them or maybe ministered to them in a certain way or kind of helped them through their issues?
Well, I think that, we have had my family have had a pretty eventful couple of years. We may dive into that a little bit more later, but I was in a car wreck and actually two, if you can believe that. But I've never been what I would consider a preacher or anything of that nature, but I do try to lead by example and to hopefully live the kind of life that somebody will look at and say, he's a good man. He's kind. We teach our kids the way that my wife and I were taught, read the Bible and learn from the Bible and do the things that we know are right. And, I think that I've been told a lot, especially in the last 2 years, that, you know, the way we've handled our difficulties and the trials that we've been handed have inspired them and have helped them through difficult times. And that's, you know, that's really, that's meaningful to know that, you know, somebody has watched our story and watched us struggle, but hopefully we've done, you know, we've done the right things and been as uplifting as possible during those hard times.
Yeah, I would love to get into that, Stoney, if you would, if you want to kind of go back to your car wreck, because we always talk about kind of one of those moments. I call it couldn't be worse than this. And but where you see light at the end of the tunnel, or we're kind of like in the Bible where God shows up and splits the sea for Moses. And, you know, you're able to look back and really realize that, you know, God had my back the whole time, but maybe at the moment it just didn't seem like it. And it sounds like maybe for you, that was your accident. You want to dive into that?
November the 8th, 2017 at 10:05 AM. you know, if you want to pinpoint, yeah, that's about as close to being pinpointed as I can be. My life and my girls' lives, my family's life changed, you know, in ways that we never could have imagined. And it happened so quickly. You know, my life before the girls, I grew up in the Church of God. So did my wife. As a matter of fact, we went to the same one as little kids. And my grandfather was the pastor. And you know, we have always tried to walk with God and to live the ways that we were taught. But before I married April and before I had the girls, you know, I didn't live the way that I knew that I should have and the way that I was taught by my parents and grandparents. And, you know, looking back on that, it's you look back at yourself when you were younger and you think the mistakes you made. But when I became a dad and you realize that you have people, little eyes looking at you and emulating you and you know, it changes your perspective on everything. And for the first time, I really felt like my life was together. And everything was going good and everything was happy. And just in the snap of a finger, in an instant, all of that stability and that happiness, you know, we feel like the devil tried to take it away from us that day. And, you know, he may have succeeded for a little while. It's hard to keep your head up. I was injured very badly. I've had around a dozen different surgeries and procedures since then. I've had hip replacement, multiple knee surgeries, arm surgery, back surgery. And it's, you know, I'm 40 years old and I walk with a cane. But it's taken time to learn that at least I walk.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, if you saw the vehicle that day, you know, most people say, wow, you were so lucky. And it's hard at that particular time in your life to go, I don't feel very lucky. I feel like that was really unlucky. But I know now that I was lucky.
Were you hit?
Well, let's skip over the details of that, if that's okay.
That's fine.
It wasn't my fault, but, it was, a big truck and it messed me up pretty bad. And, you know, I was pinned in the truck for about an hour and my wife just so happened to be one of the first people on the scene by accident. She was coming home from taking our daughter to school.
A God accident.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember very much from that from that time frame. But I remember her pulling up. I remember seeing her face, and I remember needing to have her there, you know, near me. And the front of the truck was completely demolished, but she could get in the back seat and behind me. And she got in the seat, into the back seat, and she wrapped her arms around me and she began to pray. And, it was it's still difficult to talk about. I didn't know at that time if I was paralyzed. I didn't know. I knew that everything hurt. I didn't know if I was going to live or die, and I was stuck. It was really bad, really a bad day. But from that has come a lot of good things. And it's really hard to, at the time, imagine that anything good could come from something like that.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, because I mean, I'm just trying to picture you, obviously, in the car. That was a real, the imagery was good there, just thinking about, you know, your wife in the car with you and stuff like that. But I want to talk about the good that you feel like has come out of that, because a lot of times I think we go through traumatic things like that, and for a long time it is really hard to see anything good. But, you know, the scripture that I've always stood on in my life and for others is when it says God turns ashes into beauty. And I always think of him as the ultimate restorer. I mean, he can make an ugly house beautiful, and he can make anything look good. So I'd love to hear, you know, some of the things that have come out of this for you.
Well, you know, once I was out of the hospital and got home, you know, it was pretty crazy, the outpouring of love from people that, honestly, a lot of them that I didn't even really know. But, you know, we had dinner brought to our home every day for weeks and weeks, until we literally had to tell them, we don't have enough room for this food anymore. You know, and people stopping by to see us and pray with us. A pastor, a local pastor there, came into the room actually while I was in surgery and prayed with my wife. She'd never met him before. He was the pastor of an acquaintance of ours, a friend of ours. And she said, you know, I've never felt God move ever in my life the way I did while he was praying with us. And so, you know, we just saw so much good from people. And people that truly cared about us, and the Daddy Diaries community. April got on the Daddy Diaries that day and posted on there that I'd been severely injured, and people from all across the world, all across the country, commenting, telling us that they were praying for us and that we were in their thoughts and prayers. And, you know, it really became evident that people didn't just come to hear funny stories, that they truly cared about me and my family. And, you know, people were truly saddened by it. But I think from a more personal standpoint, it's taught us that we're stronger than we ever knew. And, you know, you don't know how strong you are until you're forced to be. But more than anything, we've found that God has been with us every single step of the way. You know, there have been some days where I felt like I just couldn't go on, that I didn't want to, you know, I just felt I was exhausted. I was hurting mentally and physically. And, you know, he has helped us in so many ways and given us peace. And, you know, you talking about your verse there, you know, one day my mother texted my wife Isaiah 43:2, and said that, you know, our family's been through so much, but, you know, that verse has been just really something that has grabbed us, because we walked through the fires. You know, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. We feel like that we've walked through a lot of fire, and we're still standing. You know, we're still here, and we're tighter than we've ever been as a family. It's brought us together. I've had to learn to swallow a lot of pride. I'm not able to do the things that I was able to do before the wreck, but you know, I've learned to let people help me, and I've learned that a lot of people care about us. And I think today versus 2 years ago, we're the love that we have for one another and the appreciation that we have for one another, because it's been a team effort, right from Emma, who was 13 at the time, I think, and Abby was 17. You know, they stepped up and took over things that probably a teenager shouldn't have to do.
Yeah.
But they stepped into those roles, and they helped their mom, and they helped me. And, you know, we've come through a lot, but we've come out the other side stronger and better because of it.
Well, I love that. That's good. I just can't help but think of, you know, you talk about your daughters having to step up, but I think the beauty that I think that's in that, though, is the Lord prepares us, and he gives us the strength and the stuff that we need to, and not so much prepares us, but comes alongside us and helps us get through it. And I like, and I not even like, I just love the fact that, you know, you talk about as a family that's grown you as a family closer together, and it does give you more of appreciation for what you have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's another thing that I would say is definitely has helped me with, is to count my blessings and to remember every day all of the good things that I have. I've got a bum leg and a bad back, but you know, in the whole scheme of things, and it's taken me some time to learn this. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I woke up one day and just thought, you know, had a light bulb moment, but I've learned to appreciate the things that I have and the family that I have and the life that we have. You know, I read something one day that said, if all you had today was what you thanked God for yesterday, what would you have?
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, I think too many times, and I'm completely guilty of it, too many times you know, in your prayers, you ask and ask and ask, but are we really thankful? And, you know, I've made it more of a daily commitment from my point of view, is to be sure and thank God every night when, you know, I lay down and put my little girl to bed and we say our prayers. And, you know, I try to make it a point to make sure not just to say, you know, help us not to have bad dreams, but to thank God for the things that we have, because I want her to know that. I want her to know that the things we have, we shouldn't take for granted. And I've thought that was a really poignant statement.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I couldn't help but that. I mean, that just really changes your whole perspective of your day when you think about having an attitude of gratitude. So
absolutely.
It's good. Okay, so let's dive into your book. I'm curious. I'm just kind of flipping through it. It's fun. Obviously, you're a storyteller. This is full of stories. Why don't you share with me maybe one or two of some of your favorites maybe either one that you've gotten the most feedback from or just kind of personal favorites that are in your book?
Well, you know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. She said, what's your favorite story in the book? And I couldn't really pinpoint one. I've got three or four that I would say were right near the top. And so I can kind of glaze over a few of those. You know, one of them would have to be one that's called Bring on the Waves. And it's a story about a good friend of my wife and mine, April Hicks, and her husband, Todd Hicks. Todd was diagnosed with ALS, would have been diagnosed, I guess, about 8 years ago. And he fought it for about 5 years, which is really a long time to from the time of diagnosis to when he passed away. But they were both, you know, they're a young couple, and they were both so brave and courageous. And I was completely in awe of his, he just wouldn't give up. He never gave up. I was blessed to have been a speaker at his funeral. And about 6 weeks after he passed away, we had planned on going on vacation. And his wife, who's also named April, and their little girl, Maggie, we asked them to go on vacation with us. And so we got a condo and we went down to the beach in Florida for a week or so. And April Hicks, as you can imagine, was still grieving and having a difficult time. And she and my wife are up on the beach chatting, and she made the comment, you know, how do I go on? How do I survive this? At the time she was 35 years old. I'm a 35 year old widow. And you look for, you know, as a friend and as someone that, you know, you want to make your friends feel better and you want to comfort them when they need it. But I really didn't have any words that I felt like, you know, could really help. I didn't feel like everything I said felt empty.
Yeah.
And April, my wife, April, the same way, you know, we just didn't really have the words. So we went out into the water later. The waves were really big that day. And Emma at the time was, I think she was about 9 years old. We were out there playing in the waves, and April comes out there with us, and Emma's just diving straight on into these big waves. And they were knocking April down too. And Emma said at the time, she said, you know, April, those big waves come crashing in, they knock me down, but I just get right back up. And I looked at April at that, and it just felt like one of those moments, you know. Those were the words that I had been looking for that I didn't have. And, you know, a little blonde 9-year-old jumping in the waves somehow made some sense out of it. You know, she just grits her teeth, and when the waves knock her down, she just gets right back up. Little did we know at the time that story would come back and have so much meaning for us. You know, we've had a lot of waves in the last year and a half, and we've been knocked down a lot, but we just keep getting back up. And so that's always been one of my favorite stories, and it's in the book. And I just love the meaning and the behind it. And you know, Emma, so innocent, but had a very strong message to us, I think.
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean, it's really good because it's a great, if you've ever been in the ocean, you can understand the power and the magnitude of that. And that's all you can do. I mean, you can't change the waves. You can't push them. I mean, there's nothing you can do, but you know, you have that choice of after it hits you and you get knocked over, you can either stand up or you can sit there and just keep getting pounded.
Right. You know, you're powerless, but yes. Just how you respond, you just keep getting back up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, let's see, I had a great moment one day, about probably a year ago. And I was at the car wash of all places. And, it was one of those where they detail inside and out. And so I'd gotten out and was sitting on a bench out in the sunshine. And of course this was 6-8 months after my wreck. And I have a pretty significant limp. And this old man comes up and he says, "Mind if I sit down here?" And I said, "Yeah, of course not." And he was a really sharp dressed old man. He reminded me of my granddad in a lot of ways. He was starched, and he had on, he had on some ostrich boots, and his hair was combed perfectly. And the first thing that caught me was I could smell the aqua velva blowing off of him as he got near me.
Yeah.
And so he sat down, and I saw him kind of close his eyes and soaking up the sun. And I got up to go throw a cup of coffee away. And he said, that's an awful big limp for a young man. And so I told him the story of my wreck and what all had happened. And he said, "My goodness, you're just blessed to be alive." And I said, "Yes, sir, I believe I am." And he began to tell me a story of his life. And he had broken his back in the 50s. And he lived in Henderson, Texas. And he'd been off work for almost a year. He said, "You know, there's some really tough times in there." And he said, "But I got better, and I got, you know, my friends kept us alive and kept us going." And as we talked, he said, "Well, I'm the last one in my family." He said, "Bert died about 5 years ago." And I said, "Bert?" And he said, "Roberta, my wife." And I said, "Well, I'm very sorry to hear that." And a few moments go by, and he says, "I have cancer in my kidneys. Can you believe that?" And he was such a happy man. He had such a positive outlook. And I said, "I'm so sorry to hear that." And he said, "They tell me I got about 6 months left." And it made me feel, you know, this, I'd never met him before, but I was just touched by his candor and his story, because when you're struggling like I had been, it's good to hear those positive stories of someone that's overcome difficulties. And he said, "Don't be sorry for me." He said, "I get to go see Bert." And I just felt like I just wanted to give him a hug. You know, he was just such a strong-willed, and you could tell just a good man. And I told him, I made the comment that I was, you know, after my wreck, that I was lucky to be alive. And he scolded me, just as if we'd known each other for all of our lives. He said, "Not lucky, blessed." He said, "You're blessed to be alive." And, you know, my mother's always kind of had that same outlook, as, you know, you're not lucky. God's blessed you. These are God's blessings. And that was, it was one of the God moments that sticks out to me in all of my life, as I truly believe that man was sent there that day for me. He said exactly what I needed to hear that day.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoy that story as well. You know, there's some funny stories in there. The most popular story I've ever written is about a llama.
Okay. I want to hear about it. Now you got my attention. You start talking about a llama.
It actually is the most shared story I've ever written. And when April and I first got together and got married, and we pulled the girls from, you know, their childhood home in Northeast Oklahoma, They were none too happy about moving down to Texas. That's, you know, it wasn't really their, what their plans were, but it got me off the road. I traveled a lot with my job, and it allowed me to be at home more often and spend more time with them. So after they got out of school, in that May, they moved down to Texas where I'd already been living for a few months. And so I wanted them to have a good day. I wanted to do something that would make them happy and excite them. And so I decided to take them to an outdoor safari that was about 20 minutes down the road. And we, you know, bought the bags of food and rolled the windows down and fed the animals. And there were cows and camels and deer and but we got off into the llama territory, and I'm an animal guy. I grew up on a horse ranch and have worked cattle my whole life, and I'm pretty good at spotting a cantankerous animal from afar. And there was one llama in particular that just, he was the alpha male, and he did not have a very good attitude. And so the windows are rolled down, and we're feeding everything, and this one llama just keeps getting more aggressive and more aggressive. And my wife thinks it's cute that he's sticking his head in the window, and I keep telling her, you need to roll your window up. He's not, his ears are laid back. He's
not playing, huh?
Not feeling it, babe. You need to roll that window up. And she's, oh, he's just playing. You know, it's fine. Until it wasn't fine. He got about 2 inches from her face, and I don't know if, you know, some people do, some people don't, but llamas spit.
Yeah.
And it's not just spit. It's all this gunk from their stomach, and it's green, and it smells awful. And it comes out in an enormous volume that you can't even imagine. And I'm in a brand new truck. I've had it like a month and a half, and I mean, he just soils my, everything was covered in slime.
Oh my gosh.
But more than anything, her face, my wife's face here is just covered in green slime. And she had her hands over her face. I didn't know if she was laughing or crying.
Yeah.
The girls in the back seat are just, you know, they were trying to decide whether they should laugh or whether they, well, the worst part is we can't get out of the truck. We're stuck in the truck because we're surrounded by llamas. And so we're trying to get all this green, horrible mess off of everything and trying to get away from the llamas. And they're chasing us all the way out of the zoo. You know, they just keep following the truck because they know we have feed, until finally, maybe a 3/4 mile later, they quit following us and I could get out of the truck and try to take inventory of what exactly has happened. So that was really our first day as a family in Texas. And, you know, I said, I wanted to make a memory that we would never forget. I really didn't.
That was priceless.
I really didn't plan on that exactly, but it's definitely one of the most memorable days that we've ever had.
So did you laugh?
Afterward. after we got cleaned up and out of harm's way, we did have a good laugh. And then, of course, as the years have gone by, it's gotten funnier. But it was a fun day. It ended on quite a explosive note, though.
Oh, that is so gross. That is epic. So, yeah, I think I'm with you. I would have had a hard time. I would have wanted to laugh, but for the sake of not wanting to get in trouble, I would have held it all in until I finally saw a smile on her face. But I think my kids would have laughed for sure.
Yeah, the girls did. I like to keep things pretty neat, and I was having a little bit of a meltdown myself because it wasn't in my face, but it was on my clothes and it was covering my truck.
Oh.
And so it was, it was a funny thing to look. It's definitely a funny thing to look back on now. At the time, it was 50-50.
Yeah, but for sure.
The book's full of a lot of stories like that. We mix it up with funny and with, you know, we've had loss, grandparents passing, and you know, the wreck and difficulties. And, you know, I think that's what people like the most about the Daddy Diaries is that I don't paint a perfect picture of, you know, we're not a perfect family. We're not, I paint the good, the bad, and the ugly. I try to let people know that, you know, we're just like anyone else. So many bloggers and pages that I've seen, you know, they paint these beautiful, wonderful stories and their kids only eat non-GMO products.
And they wake up with their makeup on and everything, yeah. Right?
And they get a full, you know, 10-hour sleep every night. And we aren't that family. We have our flaws and we have our fights and arguments and we have teenage daughters. And so it's always been important to me to be honest, to, you know, never try to be that family. In fact, I bought my wife something for the wall here a year or so ago that, says, let's see if I, build a life that feels good on the inside. Yeah. Build a life that feels good on the inside, not one that looks good on the outside. And I think that's important because you can, if you start buying into all the people that think you're just this wonderful dad and wonderful husband and you know, that's all a bunch of hype. I have just as many, if not more flaws than anyone. And you know, I'm not trying to paint myself in some perfect manner. And I think that people enjoy that. Makes them feel a little more kinship with us, maybe.
I think it makes them feel more human, too. I think, especially in the society with social media and the day and the times we live in, I think so many people portray a life that they don't actually live. And I think people know that, but they still see it and they still compare themselves to it, which is unfortunate. Because I think deep down inside, we know nobody has it together. I mean, if we did, we wouldn't need Jesus, right?
Right.
And so I think that, you know, that's what I enjoy about your stories and you talking about and the fact that, you know, you put that out there is because a lot of people do need to hear that because it's refreshing because you read those and it's kind of like, oh, I'm not the only one. And it's just, it's good to know that other people have the same ups and downs as you do because sometimes I think we get lost in the glitter of sure. Other people's life that doesn't exist.
Yeah. When, you know, when they're the Kim Kardashians that never take a bad picture or that, you know, that just have this perfect life and we're not that. We have a good life. We have a great life, you know, and we thank God for that because we know that without him, there's no telling where we could be right now, where we could be today. But we're by no means perfect. And I've always felt like it was important to be honest about that.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So I got a question for you, Stoney, we wrap up the show that we never skip. And the question is if you could go back to the younger you, what age would you pick and what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I would probably go back to my early 20s when I got out of college and began my career. And, you know, I was blessed in that I've always been fairly successful from a career standpoint. But personally, I was a mess. You know, I've had just ups and downs and broken relationships and I haven't lived the way that I should have, but I would go back and tell myself that, hey, it's all worth it. It's all going to work out. It's going to take a little while. You know, it took a little longer than I probably expected, but there were times in my life back then where I just wondered, is this it? Is this what adult life is? And, you know, it's so funny. The things that were important to me then mean absolutely nothing now. And the things that are important now, you know, they weren't even on my radar. Yeah. When you become a dad and a husband, and when people rely on you, your entire life becomes about them. And back then I was selfish. You know, I did everything for myself. If it didn't help me, then I wasn't concerned with it. And back then, you know, and even not just early 20s, but even on into my 30s before April and I got together, you know, mentally I was depressed and I never felt like I belonged anywhere. And there's another story in the book called A House Is Not a Home. And it's about, you know, having a house. You can own a house, but it never became a home until I had the girls. And, you know, really in my life, I've had two homes. I had the childhood home I grew up in, and I had the home that April made for us in Texas. And, you know, I think that was such a long journey to get to that feeling of home. And, you know, I spent a lot of my 20s scared and sad. And so I would just reassure myself that God's got this. Just trust him. You know, it's going to be a roller coaster between here and there. There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff. But, you know, the end here, where we're at now, was worth all of the bad stuff before. And it's hard to see that at the time, but looking back on it now, there's no doubt in my mind.
Amen. He does have this. I love that, because it's so true. When you look back over your life, you just realize he's always had us. It's just coming to the place of knowing that, and then things just get better.
Yeah, and you look at things you did back then and you think, oh, that was so stupid. What in the world was I thinking? But, you know, I'm a firm believer in God's timing, and that things happen, even if they're not necessarily the best things at the time, you know, that they have a purpose in your life. You're learning a lesson, or it's helping you maybe at a later date in your life. And so, you know, I wouldn't change anything in my life. I think that I am where I am today because of the mistakes that I made as a young man. And that's a hard thing to wrap my head around, because there certainly are some things that I probably should want to change. But, you know, had I not made those mistakes, then, you know, things could be different today. And I wouldn't change anything today.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Okay. So Stoney is, I always give the mic over your last piece of, so you gave yourself advice in your early 20s. Now you get to leave some parting advice to the Are You Real listeners.
Well, I would, that's the best piece of advice that I can think of. To expand on that a little bit is, you know, when you're going through hard times and everybody has them, there are going to be bad times in your life. There are going to, just when you think you've got everything going your way, life can throw you a curveball, but just have faith, stay the course. You know, there, you're going to have days where that may seem impossible, but, you know, we're living proof that if you if you give it over to God. My wife, not long after my accident, I was really struggling and I was really having a hard time. And she sat down on the bed with me and she said, "You're trying to fix this yourself." She said, "You can't fix this. You've got to give it to God." And that's been something that has, and she may not even know it, but it's been something that I think about all the time, because I know that I can't fix this, but I know someone that can. And as long as I am faithful and believe that He has control and that He wants what's best for me and my family, then, I think that only good things are going to continue to come to us. And I would encourage anyone that's having difficulties, whether it be physical or mental or any hardships in your life, don't try to go it alone. Don't try to fix it yourself, because you can't. But you've got a partner. There's someone there that can definitely help you, and He would love to do it.
Well, that's great advice. All right, Stoney. So for my listeners who have never heard of you or don't know anything about Daddy Diaries, where do we find you and where do we find your new book?
Well, you can go, you can look me up on Facebook, The Daddy Diaries, on Instagram, The Daddy Diaries. I have a webpage, www.thedaddydiaries.net. You can buy the book at that same address, thedaddydiaries.net/myfirstrodeo is the name of the book.
Okay.
But it's also sold at all, where anywhere where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, any major stores carrying it. We're super excited about it. And it comes out here in just a week from today. So it's been a long time coming. It's been 2 years in the making, with two car wrecks in the middle of writing it, which made it all the more adventurous. So you can get it at any of those places, and it'll be there in a week or so. There is an audio version of it as well.
Well, even better. Did you do your own audio version?
Yeah, I got to narrate it myself, which was a pretty cool experience.
I bet that is really cool.
Yeah, I can't imagine hearing my story in anyone else's voice. So. Yeah, so it was a long, hard 2 days of recording. Recorded the whole thing in 2 8-hour sessions.
Yeah, that sounds painful in itself.
It was.
So, all right. Well, hold on just a second as we wrap it up. Roar Nation, love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed these stories and just Stoney's inspiration. Just constantly just thinking about turning life circumstances, the lemons into lemonade, and just thinking about turning ashes into beauty is just scriptural, and just the things that God can do in our lives. Sometimes we look back and we dwell on the things that are negative, but in fact that God wants to turn them into something beautiful. And that's what I love about Stoney's stories, is he's talking about the things that have happened in his life. And just the beauty and the things that have come out of it is just so inspiring. So please get on there, check out the book and all the things that he's doing. What I love about the publishing company that Stoney's involved with, they always give us free books. So if you will get on Facebook and message Casey, my wife, we'll get you guys some books out for free to promote it. And please rate, review, share us, help us out on iTunes, leave a review. They're always great for me. They inspire me, especially when you guys leave good reviews. So love you, Roar Nation. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.